Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck on a sunny day in Kansas City, but it looks like it's going to start to snow any moment. I don't know how that works. Very snowy here this time of year. And I'm here with my friends. Hi, guys.
Hi, we're here in 60-degree weather in beautiful, sunny North Carolina. And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. Glad to be with you again. And we are the co-founders of an online ministry called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening. And as we've mentioned before, we've got a shortcut to be able to get to us, yourspiritualpractice.com. However, Cher has an announcement we'd like to share with you quickly.
Assuming this is all right.
Yes.
We would like to share, drum roll, please, that we have been approved as a Unity Alternative Ministry. We are now moving into becoming, under their umbrella of nonprofit, we will be the Unity Center for Universal Prosperity. And universal is spelled Y-O-U, Universal Prosperity.
Universal Prosperity, yes.
And one of our board members is sitting in this circle with us
right now. I'm a marginal part of this, we could say.
No marginal.
Even if I wasn't on the board, I'd be part of what they used to call the kitchen cabinet, right?
There you go.
Yes.
Right?
So we're very excited, and we'll be sharing more information about it.
Yeah. So you're going off, not really in a new direction, you're going off under a new structure.
Yes.
It'll be a new focus. It'll be a prosperity focus.
Right. Prosperity focus, and you will now be eligible to take donations that are tax deductible.
Yes. And that's a big help too.
That
will be a very events-driven ministry. We're not going to be, that's what makes it an alternative ministry. We'll be driven by events that we do rather than have a church.
Yeah. And I think it would be appropriate to share with people that we want you to give, not because you're being spiritually fed, but because you want this teaching to go forward.
Okay.
That you want this teaching to go forward.
And we hope they're spiritually fed as
well. We trust they are being spiritually fed, but we've never been comfortable with that measurement.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Because then if a person isn't fed in any given week, they could choose not to give. Mm-hmm. But it's not about what's happening in this particular moment. It's about what's happening over the span of time, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And your ministry does a wonderful thing. So
thank you.
Congratulations.
We're very excited to get the final approval. We got the approval this past week. So we're very excited.
It's been a little hard to keep that under wraps because it's been quite a process, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, Unity Worldwide Ministries was wonderful to work with.
They really were.
This whole process. Yeah.
So give the name again.
Okay. It's the Unity Center for Universal Prosperity. And that's Y-O-U, Universal Prosperity. So it's a little tricky, but if you type, we'll come up with a shortcut for it as well. Because we're still working on the website. It is up now, but it's still in progress. It's Unity Center for Y-O-U, Universal Prosperity.
Universal Prosperity. There ought to be a shortcut with just that.
There will be a shortcut.
Yeah, that's good. I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you'll find my calendar and the absolute word and enough said. It is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
It's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And here it comes. It's another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well.
That's right. It's a beautiful day in Bill's consciousness. And we're doing, been doing this new series, and we decided to rename it today. So we're calling it Science, Fun Science, Pseudoscience, and Spirituality. And I won't go into details of why that is, except that I think today's topic falls under the fun science. Nice. And we could call it walking on water and non-Newtonian fluids.
That should get people's interest for sure.
Right. And we don't know if we're going to get to the second segment, but if we do, we're going to make an effort to get the helicopter God. And so let's see what happens. Okay, guys, take it away.
Well, we'd like to talk just a little bit, not going into much detail, because for those of you who know the story in the Christian Bible, in the New Testament, it talks about Yeshua, or Jesus, walking on water, which appears in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. You can check out your New Testament and read the story. It's in Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, and John chapter 6. And we're perfectly okay with your not questioning his being able to accomplish that extraordinary feat. However, science, today's science, has something to say about the possibility of humans being able to, quote unquote, walk on top of water. And we'd like to sort of describe that and discuss that just a bit today.
And talk about what science is finding out that may be a little different than what we thought about walking on water.
I have a Bible question for you, Bill. This is in two of the synoptic gospels, right? And the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John is usually held as different and apart from the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Are there other instances where there are stories in the synoptic gospels that occur in the Gospel of John, since John is so different? Just an answer yes is enough for me at this point.
Yeah, yes. And there's also a fifth gospel. Perhaps a lot of people don't know about the quote-unquote fifth gospel. It's called the Coptic Gospel of
Thomas, and, yes.
It's got some allusion to this water, walking on water episode two. But I just mentioned the three gospels that are the past the muster, if you will, with the folks who decided what goes into the New Testament or not.
Yeah, the filtering committee.
Filtering exactly. committee, that's
exactly.
a good name for them.
Right. And a lot of people forget that Jesus wasn't the only one who is supposed to have walked on water. Simon Peter also walked on water, at least a couple steps.
Yeah, very briefly, until he took his eyes off the prize, if you will, and started to sink, which is a great metaphorical story.
We have lots of fun with that, with metaphysical Bible interpretation.
Yeah.
Take it away, guys, once again.
So we're going to move into the science now, the part of the non-Newtonian fluid piece wanted to talk about. We wanted to explain what non-Newtonian fluid is for those who aren't as into science, because once that was identified, it changed the way everybody looked at this whole concept of fluidity with like water. And a non-Newtonian fluid is a fluid that doesn't follow the Newton's law of viscosity, which is what you're thinking of when you think about how it's thick or thin, like ketchup. If you think of ketchup, it's a really good example, because it becomes runnier when you shake it up. So it's a non-Newtonian fluid, because you would normally, on a Newtonian fluid, it wouldn't get thinner as it's shaken. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? And so looking at liquid things that do something different than what you expect would make it a non-Newtonian fluid.
Yeah, and there are many salt solutions or molten polymers. Some examples of non-Newtonian fluids, for example, custard and honey and toothpaste, cornstarch, those kind of things can be classified as non-Newtonian fluids. And actually we have a name for it that was so we could thank for Dr. Seuss.
That's
for giving us a name for these fluids.
This is one example of the fluid, and it's oobleck.
Oobleck.
So I don't know how many Dr. Seuss fans we have out there, but one of Dr. Seuss's books was called Bartholomew and the Oobleck. And this goop that science talks about, they named it after the character in the Dr. Seuss book.
So, oh my God.
I don't know why, but they did. And what they call it is oobleck. And it's, if anybody's ever worked with goop, and created it, it's cornstarch. It's made of cornstarch and something else. I can't
water remember. At least I think
water. Yeah, water. What it does is you mix it up, and then it becomes a concoction that's thicker, that thickens and acts like a solid.
And as a matter of fact, each time you touch the substance, it thickens. And here's a scientific fact for you: an oobleck walker, you know, a person who walks on oobleck, can walk in a large tub of oobleck without ever sinking, because of its thickening properties. Every time you step on this goo, it hardens. and it hardens for a number of seconds so that as you lift your foot and place your next foot on the oblique, it hardens again. And they've even tested it where you actually punch the oblique and it begins to really thicken. And it's also lightweight enough that it floats on top of water surfaces. So science has proven that people can, quote unquote, walk on oblique assisted water, human beings.
So I give a question. Are we now going to see ceremonies around oblique walking like we have around fire walking?
Oh, wow. That would be a cool thing. Well, maybe at our retreat.
Maybe at our retreat we'll do an oblique walk.
Because what's really interesting too is it thickens, but then after, like if you step on it, it thickens, and then when you step off it, it goes back to its thin state.
Yeah.
So it doesn't stay.
Well, so if you take a step and stay there, you sink, right?
You probably would.
True. Yeah, maybe the Sea of Galilee was a momentary oblique mass, and that's why Peter started to walk on it, and then it went back to water and.
Yeah, because you know, when you walk on fire, one of the things they tell you, because we've done a fire walk, and one of the things they warn you is keep moving.
Yeah.
Like if you freeze, you'll burn. Your foot will get burned. And it's the same thing on the oblique. You've got to keep walking because it will turn back to its liquid state.
So now we can add a new miracle for Jesus. So he turned water into wine. He turned water into oblique.
True.
And who are we to say that didn't happen?
We don't know, right?
It could very well be. Yeah.
What's interesting is, of course, scientists tell us and give us many examples of insects and certain animals that actually can walk or run across the surface of water. And one is the basilisk lizard. And it talks about the surface tension not being broken by these animals and by the insects. And that's what allows them to scoot across the surface of the water. Right.
And I've actually seen a snake scoot across top of water.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the weirdest sight. Okay.
Oh, it would be. That would be spooky almost.
As of this writing, for example, in order for a human to not walk but actually run across the water, there are videos out there which show people running across water. They've been proven to be pseudoscience. There's something, they're running either across water that's have rocks under it or sand near the surface, that kind of thing. And they're not running at the speed it would take to make that possible. Science tells us that we would have to run about 67 miles per hour to not sink below the surface of the water. The world's fastest human, Usain Bolt, who holds, as of this podcast, the world record of 9.58 seconds, would have to run almost 24 miles per hour over a distance of 10, 15 feet in order to do that.
And wow.
He can't, no one can. It's impossible with human physiology. It's just not going to happen.
Wow, what an amazing fun fact, right? It's like, I think the funnest fact is the scientist knew Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, that's true. And the fact that they named it after him, the oblique, is as the substance. Wow. And you can make it. You can make oblique.
So tell them.
You can mix it.
They have online, they have recipes. If you look up oblique, then it's goop. And for fun, like in a science lab or in a class or something, you can actually create some. Now, it's not the same level as what they're obviously experimenting with here, where you can actually walk on across a tub. But to me, I don't know. I just want to take that fact, that fun fact. How do we translate that to what it means to us? Like, is there anything practical about the fact that this exists?
I don't know, Cher, is there?
The one thing I get is that nothing's ever set in stone, kind of to use a, not meaning that oblique is stone, but I mean, the things that we believed about liquids is now being shown that there's a whole nother way to look at it.
Yes.
And fluids don't, like the way we thought fluids always acted, don't always act that way.
Right.
So beliefs I've always had don't necessarily hold true for everything.
Yep.
So that need to question, unquestion, answer, so that I can constantly be open to the oobleck in my mind, maybe. How do I use the concept of walking on water? What can I use oobleck for to walk over? Yeah. What do I need to get past? What do I need to rise above? And what would my oobleck look like?
So it really shows that context is important in a way too. Mm-hmm. You have these Newtonian fluids, but there's these non-Newtonian fluids, and the laws and principles of the Newtonian don't apply to the non-Newtonian.
Right. Which doesn't make the Newtonian wrong.
No.
It just means there's more there than what we realized. And so,
yeah, and we've talked about this in another way, and that is the laws and principles of electricity do not directly apply to the laws and principles of gravity. Mm-hmm. Or the laws and principles of mathematics, though there may be some cross-referencing there, but they're all in a context. And that's why we've been teaching the laws and principles that we talk about metaphysically are laws and principles of mind or of consciousness. And they do not apply in the same way to the physical realm. And that is the error people have been making, that if it works this way in my mind, it must work that way out in the physical world. And it doesn't.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally different environments.
Yep. So context.
By the way, folks, there are over 1,200 different species that can actually walk and or run on the water surface. And for centuries, humans have floated, excuse the pun, idea that we might one day be able to walk on water. For example, in the 15th century, Leonardo da Vinci invented a pair of pontoon-like shoes intended just for this purpose.
Yeah, so he was doing what those spider things do when they go across the... Mm-hmm.
Yes, because they didn't break the surface tension of the water. And also, French entertainer Remy Bricca walked on the Atlantic Ocean on a pair of floating skis in 1988.
Yep.
And you can YouTube that feat, and you'll see that actually happened. But of course, these are technology-assisted implements that would quote-unquote help human beings walk on the water surface. In the biblical stories, of course, there's no mention whether Jesus walked with sandals across the surface of the water, lake, or whether it was bare feet or whatever it was, but there's no mention made that he had pontoon or shoes or skis.
Right. Or webbed feet for that matter.
Or webbed feet. That
doesn't, they don't show
story.
Up in any of the pictures we see. Nobody draws it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the very least, this story, this fun facts, point up the importance that laws and principles pertain to certain domains, but not to all domains. And that is so critical to know.
And sometimes when we feel like we hit a wall and like, you know, I've tried this, I've tried to put it into practice and it's not working, we might want to remember this and say, okay, am I trying to apply a law or principle in a place where the context isn't correct? Do I need to rethink the context and see a different way to apply it here?
Exactly.
Instead of getting so frustrated.
Yes.
So have an oobleck moment.
Oobleck moments. There we go. Oobleck moments.
I like the word. It's just a fun word to say.
So oobleck. You got to spell it.
O-O-B-L-E-C-K.
And poor Dr. Seuss never had a clue of what was going to happen with this, right?
No. Wow.
Now, you know, metaphysically speaking, troubled waters represent our emotions, which are on edge. We could go that way with it in terms of what this story metaphysically represents within us. Yes. And as we continue these depressed, troubled thoughts, fearful thoughts, we sink into depression and despair.
There's an interesting connection there that in your white paper, are you going to post that white paper for people to read?
Eventually, mm-hmm. It will be up. It's not quite ready yet.
So in that white paper, you mostly focus on the positive metaphysical interpretation of the word water, but it also can be interpreted negatively.
True.
For example, it can represent weakness and negativeness, mm-hmm. which is fascinating, which means we're back to context, aren't we?
Right. Yep, exactly. Right.
Right. So when we're metaphysically interpreting something, it's really important that we know the context. If we don't know the context, we might get a different meaning. That meaning still might be useful to you, but it doesn't follow the thread of the story.
And right. Exactly. And you might not have the right oobleck.
They may not have the right oobleck. Okay, on that oobleck moment, let us turn to the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted uni publication, has been used with permission. And of course, these comes from Sunday. This is from December 15th, 2019, the course that we are in Advent. So the word is love, and the affirmation is, I immerse myself in the awareness of the principle of love. I immerse myself in the awareness of the principle of love. The principle of love is fundamental to each member of the human family. We use the principle of love to bind us together and to create harmony in our world. When we make the decision to think, feel, and act lovingly, we consciously live from the love that we are. The feeling of love blossoms and grows between us. Today, I immerse myself in the awareness of the principle of love underpinning my consciousness. My heart overflows with a renewed and growing awareness of love as I desire to give in service to others. I release old resentments. I forgive those who have hurt me. I forgive myself for the resentments I have held against them. I smile and share my joy. I harmonize and unify myself with all people. I immerse myself in the awareness of the principle of love. And so it is. Wow.
So it shall be.
Well, people listening, this is our last program we're recording for 2019. So we've wrapped up another season. We're really excited and happy about that. And as we go into 2020, we're going to go into a new identifying way of the programming so that you don't have to look for a date or anything like that. So the programs are going to be cataloged by the year and the number of it in that year. So the first broadcast in 2020 will be 2020 number one. And now people will know whether we did a show or not. That is the idea. So thanks, Bill. Thanks, Cher. And thank you to all of our listeners. Have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and set wonderful intentions.